Well, we are pleased to be in the studio with Murray Lightburn, and he's in town playing tonight and touring in support of his new record, Hear Me Out. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, man.
So, titling an album "Hear Me Out," a lot of times, if you're like telling a story, it's when
the story
kind of goes
phrase,
off
yeah.
the rails, or like it's going to be the unbelievable part of a story, or like you're just expecting.
There's
like a little trepidation on the part of the listener, like, hear me out.
Or there's a certain urgency, I think, maybe. You know?
Urgency, okay, that's it.
When you utter those words, you really want someone to like listen carefully to what you have to say, because you think you feel that it's important, and I think that's what the framework of this record is that I'm not saying that I in particular have something very important to tell you, and so you must listen to me, because if I said that, then no one would listen to me. But I think I'm speaking from a universal perspective, you know, the idea the act of listening to each other, communicating, and that sort of, that's like basically what I think this album is about. I think it's about relationships and the glue that holds them. I consider communication, like without it, your relationship with whoever it is going to fall apart. For me personally, I dwell on the relationship I have with my wife and my children on this record. And sometimes, you know, kind of picking up little bits and bobs from my parents' relationship and other people's relationships, and just stuff that people tell me, confide in me sometimes a little bit. There's other people's secrets on this record too, you know.
So when you're taking those experiences or other people's kind of reads on things, are you kind of attempting to like synthesize in a way that makes it universal, or are you trying to kind of like inhabit a mood when it comes to what they're expressing? What's kind of the driving force in that?
I mean, I guess it's just like everything I write is filtered from my own experiences, you know?
Right.
And I definitely take what I learn. And it's not that conscious. I just kind of let it happen, you know? Sometimes I have to ask myself if something I'm writing is too personal, or if this is too much, you know, to say, but then I manage to take myself out of the equation a lot of the time, you know, and look at it from, like, imagine anyone in any, like, specifically with this record, I just imagined, like, I think, like, as a man, I identify as a man, and but I reject a lot of the BS that comes with being a man sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's like a sort of subplot to this record, is that you don't have to embrace a lot of the cliches that men's behaviors can fall into, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you can use your words. I mean, an example, and I'll tell you a personal anecdote. You know, I have a 13-year-old daughter, you know, And it's not easy.
It's not easy.
But just like my old man was not a great communicator at all, you know? So you just never knew what was going on with him at all. You just never knew what was going on in his head. But you knew from his actions a lot of times his anger would come out or his frustrations or whatever. And, you know, my daughter and I were having a moment, and I was thinking in that moment that I needed to express to her, because I think like kids, there's so much going on in their brains when they're developing, and even at 13 there's a lot going on. It's like everything's firing on all cylinders, and I just wanted to remind her of how, you know, important like she is to me, you know. And sometimes I want to like have that conversation with her, but it's never seemingly the right time because of something that's going on with her. I'm very intuitive that way, where I can tell it's like, this is not the right time for me to express this to her. She's just going to go right past her.
Right.
And in a moment where I was like, okay, I think this is the moment where I can, you know, kind of reinforce these, you know, some things in our relationship. And so I took that moment, and I was very expressive about how I felt about her and how important she is, and how basically everything in my life, you know, comes second to her health and happiness and well-being, and that everything I am doing is to ensure that she's okay before anything else. And I started to break down as the words were coming. What's the salty residue? And I started to break down but I was like, you know, it's not like I never had a man in my life express anything like that to me. And I felt like, you know, it was important to sort of break that trend within at least my narrative, you know. And because I could easily not say anything and just assume or just bottle it up, you know.
Was there a point at which you reached that decision, like as a father or as a man?
Probably on this record is like, because I'm always trying to evolve and grow. Like I have been such a gonad in my life, you know, and I attribute a lot of that to, you know, the sort of rock and roll cliches, you know, like drinking and stuff like that, and just like just kind of letting yourself fall into traps, behavioral patterns and stuff like that. And I think like when I quit you know, drinking whiskey, like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I forget when it was. You know, I spent like 3 years totally dry and just like gained so much clarity on a number of things that that's, you know, people ask me, it's like, did having a family and having kids like change your writing? It's like, really, of all the things that really changed my writing for the better, it was that. It was like, at least from a philosophical level and from like a proper writer's level, like the clarity I got from that and what I learned from just being clear-headed all the time and not, you know, it just kind of really helped me get to a certain place, and it's allowing me to really, really properly grow as a man, as a human, but as a man. And you know, I'm still far from where I want to be, but I feel like I'm on a path now, and this record has really is really about that, you know.
You mentioned, you know, picking the moment to talk to your daughter when it would resonate, when you knew that she would be receptive to it, versus when you can tell that she wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Was there any thought to something like that when it came to like this record and putting like this kind of like messaging or ideas out into the world, and whether like there's a time and a receptivity?
Oh man, absolutely. You know, whenever you make a record, you're at the mercy of what's hot right now and what people are ready for. And I'm in the unfortunate position where people are never really ready for what I have to say, just from my own spot. Because as a black man, especially now, you know, I don't fit in on so many levels, you know, because people still see me as a black artist, but I don't fall into the same category as 90%, 95% of the black artists that you hear about every day, that, you know, that publications write about, that they're telling you about, who's going to jail, in jail, or just getting out of jail, which is usually the narrative of you know, 90% of black artists that you hear about, the hip hop world, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in that. And then I'm not white, so I don't really fit in with, you know, a guitar strumming singer songwriter, which is what I am. But there's so few of me. You would think that, oh, that would be my in. It's like, oh, he's this black dude that doesn't rap, you know, but it's not working. So it always feels like no matter what I'm doing, it's always at the wrong time. I'm never fitting in. I've been out here for 25 years, and, you know, we've had some success, but like, but it just seems like, you know, there's a bit of a, I'm still not allowed to say all the things that I would like to say, because if I do color outside of the lines a little bit and get a little unruly and say something, then I just, you know, I just get shut down or whatever. So I guess what I'm saying is this, like, I know my place, and I just look at what I'm doing as putting books on a shelf that people can discover after I'm long gone. And, you know, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but definitely somewhere down the line, you know, I'm just, by just making what I'm making, it's, I feel like the stuff that I sing about is not, you know, trendy. So it can be used at any time. And I am consciously trying to put stuff out in the world that is positive and that people can receive. I'm giving. What I'm doing is I'm hoping to give. I see myself as a giver, and that people are like, I'm not necessarily looking to get anything out of this. It's like, if I can make a living, if I can make a couple bucks doing it and feed my family, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Which I've been very lucky to be able to do, but it's getting harder and harder. But I think generally, though, what guides me is when I do go out and play and I do meet people and they do come up to me and they say, you know, this song absolutely saved my life. I, you know, my dad died, or my wife left me, or my this that happened, or, you know, and this song saved my life. And that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. So I'm fine with how all the other circumstances work out, because I know that I get actual testimonials face to face with people, or I'll get emails or messages about how much this music means to them. So it's like, my job's done, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting you compared your work to books? Because a lot of times where people think of books is, you know, that they're there and people come to them when they're ready for the book, right? Like a book might be released at a certain point, but people will discover it when it's right for them to discover it and kind of like digest it.
And personally, I think that's the way art should be. Should be consumed. You know, I never got to see the Sistine Chapel until, you know, 2006. So, you know, but it's been there for a long time. But I always wanted to see that ceiling because when I was a kid, you know, I was obsessed with Michelangelo, and I wanted to see that. And when I got there, I was so mad because I was surrounded by a bunch of idiots taking pictures of it and just yammering and no solemn, like I couldn't deal. I was so mad. It just ruined my whole experience because I was ready to receive this and look at this ceiling, and I was just surrounded by a bunch of tourists, and it just made me so mad. But like, I definitely think that, you know, unfortunately, I'm in the music business, and the music business is driven by a bunch of assholes who are just trying to make money. Everybody's just trying to make money, and that business is driven by people who just want to be famous. And I don't really care for neither of those things. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, again, I'm very lucky to have, you know, I think what I just want to do is just keep putting out something that I think is true and hopefully, you know, reaches enough people. But the thing is that the timing of it is for the music business. It's like, it's not an evergreen thing. It's like, it's about like that first week of sales. You know, how many hits you got in the first month, how many followers you have. Oh, you got like, you know, this many followers this month. It's always everybody's in a fucking rush, excuse my language, in the music business. And I'm not in a rush because I'm thinking about the entire timeline after I'm gone. You know, all the stuff that I did is still going to be there, and people can pick it up anytime. Somebody's, you know, my, you know, like people that are, you know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, if media still exists, I don't know how it will exist, but in whatever form, it's like part of the library, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all I want to do is just keep my shit in the library.
That feels like something spoken by a dad about thinking about longevity or like legacy. It's, you know, something you start considering with kids.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, it's like the music business is it's a harsh mistress, you know, and there's all these people within it that manipulate artists in a way to, you know, just like we're all obsessed with like putting stuff on social, you know, Instagram stories, and you know, gotta put those things out, and you know, just like it's like chasing nothing, man. It's like that stuff, you know, is so not important, and yet I fall into. I mean, I enjoy Instagram only because I'm, you know, I'm really into photography.
I was gonna say,
and
into still photography, like, yeah, film.
And yeah. And so that's like, you know. But I always feel the pressure, and I always want to do right by the label that I'm working with, even though they've never made me feel like I'm not, you know, a team player. But I always want to help the label do what they do, which is sell records, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm willing to do what I have to do and, you know, do press and do, you know, like, can you make a video saying hi to such and such on, and we'll post it on, you know, the, like, can you make a tweet about Spotify and thanks Spotify and all this stuff. You got to do all that stuff. And it's like, you know, I mean, it's maddening, but it's part of the beast, you know? And, but for me, I know that a lot of artists like wrestle with all of this stuff. Like it's a source of stress for them, you know, mm-hmm. chasing all those numbers, because if you don't have those numbers, you don't get on the festivals, you don't get those big guarantees. It's just a, you know, snowball effect. And people don't even know like what we face. They think that we make a record and, you know, they are just going to magically hear about this record that we just made, and they're just going to magically, you know, tickets are magically going to buy themselves, and there will magically be people at the shows. And they don't even know like the amount of stress we face on all of those things, because it's like this rat race. Mm-hmm. And I kind of made a decision to just kind of like just shut all that down in my mind. Like, not, that's not the stuff that is a source of stress for me anymore. Like, I think maybe like a few years ago I was stressed about it, but with this record, and maybe even like the last couple of Deers records that we released, I just kind of came to a place of peace with it all, the music biz and like the number chasing, and just like, I'm not in this race. So you guys can keep running, keep being stressed about it, but I reject this race, you know. I'm not running it. I'm just gonna do my own thing, and I'm like much happier with my life, and I don't let anything kind of, I'm much more confident too with what I'm doing, which is important, because I think like all of that feeds into a lack of confidence, and then you start making shitty records because right. you start like chasing what, you know, oh, I gotta make a pop song, you know, I gotta get played on the radio, I gotta make some shitty music to get played on the radio. And you see it all the time, am I right?
Yep.
You can always tell when a band is trying to get played on the radio. It's awful. It just, the results are just horrendous, horrific.
No, you get you can tell who's kind of staying true to themselves and who's chasing something.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I want to get you to pick a track that we can play off the album
okay.
for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking that one or an anecdote, I'd love to hear that.
Well, I'll say Changed My Ways, because just a little while ago, there is a music biz mounting, I wouldn't say pressure, because Danger Bird doesn't really put pressure. They would just kind of expressed, we'd really like to see a video come out of this record, you know, like a proper video. Because there was a couple videos, but they were, you know, kind of really, really not, the production value was quite low. And mm-hmm. they just wanted something a little more. And they were willing to throw down a couple bucks to make one, but still a very small budget. And I was like, tried to engage a couple of couple directors, and nothing really floated up to the top. And then, you know, you remember that guy, Gentleman Reg?
Yep.
Well, we follow each other on Instagram, and he posted this like throwback pic of when Kevin Drew directed a video for him. And I'm in touch with Kevin all the time. And so I just called him up and I said, hey man, would you do a video for something off my record? And he was like, and he goes, what song? And I said this one. And he goes, and like the next morning he calls me back and he goes, okay, I got it. So you're going to do this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. And this is what we're going to do. I said, that's awesome. And so, within like a couple of weeks, we had the video shot, edited, color corrected, and sent back. Everybody was very happy with it. And so so that's the song that we did was Changed My Ways. And that comes out, I think, immediately after this tour So that's the next video that's coming out, and I'm pretty excited about it, and I had a lot of fun. You know, I mean, Kevin and I go back a long way, but he was really great. Like, I had no issues putting all my trust in him, and I just it was so nice to not to have like no responsibility except to just perform in the video. Like, Natalia produced it, did an amazing job, and we had this DOP, and it was a very small crew, but like, I just we had a lot of fun, and there was no BS attached to it, and Kevin was amazing. Kevin's really good at like telling people what to do. He's like such a conductor. And it's, I mean, I have the same role, so it's, but I also really enjoy being told what to do. I love that. I love being on the other side of it, because it's a nice break, especially in the Deers, where it's like I call, you know, a lot of the shots. But working with Kevin was really great. I really enjoyed it. I would do it again in a heartbeat. And he's very talented in that way. So I'm looking forward to sharing that in the next week or so.
So your Instagram is Murray_A_Lightburn.
Yeah.
Where you post your film photography. Yeah. I have to imagine you'll probably do Danger Bird a thing and share that video via the Instagram as well.
Yes, okay. Yes. It's all coming out. I forget how, but it's all coming out. Like, I think I could tell you the date that it's coming out. I know it's in my cal. I think they said the 13th. You know what? It's not in the cal. 17th? Yeah, I don't know. It's coming out right after this tour is finished. So
it's coming up.
It's coming up soon, yeah.
Well, Murray, thanks for coming in and playing some tunes and sitting down and talking, man.
Well, thanks for having me, and I really appreciate it.